I'm Greg Wayne, and I'm going to interview Ann Zayas, my aunt, on the Newton Steel Strike. Take it away. Start from when your father is in Newton Falls.
We moved from Bentleyville, Pennsylvania to Newton Falls in 1925 because Newton Steel was one of the new factories that most people from Pennsylvania came, and West Virginia and other areas, to work because the coal mines were closing. And it only lasted about 6 years, the steel mill.
In Newton Falls?
In Newton Falls. And because they didn't have very good transportation for the steel to be transported in other areas.
Out of Newton Falls?
Out of Newton Falls. This is all out of Newton Falls.
Okay.
And they decided to build a steel mill in Monroe, Michigan. And of course, we thought Monroe, Michigan was an ancient place to go. It looked like it was miles and miles on the map to us children. So we thought we'd never get there. And they finally got it all built. And in 1932, my father, John Kofi, was transferred from Newton Steel in Newton Falls with the rest of the employees. And a lot of families left with the husbands and their relatives, but we stayed behind because we had a little small farm, and we arrived here in 1936.
You and your
mother and and brothers and sisters. And
well, they moved here because of the transportation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when we got to Monroe, most ethnic people settled on the east end of Monroe, Michigan.
Where were the people from who worked at Newton Steel Mill from mostly?
Most generally were from Pennsylvania and West Virginia, Virginia, Kentucky, and southern Ohio. They were all working in Newton Falls. And the population of Newton Falls at that time was only 4,000.
Mm.
By the time everybody moved, there was less than 2,000 left.
That's the population?
Yeah, population.
And that, so... number one.
And we settled in Monroe, we rented a home on the east end, and then later on we bought a home on the Michigan Avenue.
Okay. Can the workers in Newton Steel Mill be identified with any racial or ethnic group?
Well, yes, there was, most of them were from West Virginia, and they talked in a southern language, and ethnics were, groups, they had a broken, they had a broken accent with their language, and they were mostly Slavs and Italians, and there were very few blacks, not too many black people.
Where the blacks work at, and they worked in the mill?
I have no idea where the blacks worked, but I know they worked there, but not too many families were here at the time. They came in later on as, the steel mill progressed. So, what's the other question?
Any workers be identified with any religion?
Yes, there was all religions. They were Catholics and all kind of Protestant, and some religions you haven't even heard of that people were surprised there were such religions.
Do they practice them? Or?
They practice them, and they have preachers on the corners, and they had these tents coming and brought up. From the different towns, and some preachers, they would have revival meetings, and that's where some people got their religion. But our family, we had a big family. We had 9 children, and my mother and father, and my 2 brothers worked in the steel mill, and the boys went to CC camp at the time, and they worked in onion fields, celery fields. And they help out farmers for $1 a day and their dinner. That's how the children earn their money during the summertime.
Okay. And we already asked, can the workers in the Newton Steel Mill identify with any neighborhood? Were they?
Well, there were not too many homes to be rented in Monroe at the time, so they settled all over. And there were not too many homes at the beaches at the time, so people start building homes.
There's summer homes out there?
They were building homes in town and buying homes and that's how they got started, because most of them had homes in Newton Falls and they sold them, then they bought homes in Monroe. Yeah.
Okay, well, the workers at the Newton steel mill, they had any political party they were favored to? Or?
The only political party I remember was the union parties they had, and most had their own nationality parties, you know, like it was mostly like a little insurance groups they had of their own nationality, and that's about the only party I know.
For the steel mill?
For the steel mill had no union or anything at the time.
I mean, the people, what party they preferred, you know? Democrats, Republicans?
Oh, well, they were split.
Split?
But at the time, it was such a bad depression that they were all against Hoover, so they all were they were Democrats. When Roosevelt came in, that was the biggest glory in the world. We thought he could just do anything, because he's the one that put out so many things, you know, like WPA, men had a chance to work, you know, and earn their money for their bills, and then they had the CC cams for the young teenage boys, and so that was great.
Okay. Social class for the people, how they live.
Class was mostly, they were the middle class people. They were believers in owning their own homes, taking care of their property, and very few of the middle class wanted to go into welfare. And they all worked hard. And nobody had very much, so we were all almost all equal.
The whole
group.
Oh, at the steel mill?
Yeah, in the steel mill.
Okay.
Only the one problem steel mill had at the time, there were so many
foremen.
There were so many foremen that wanted a little pay. That was before the union came in. And you had to either pay to give them a little money every payday, or you had to give them a bottle of liquor, or you had to treat them real good. And the men were disgusted with that, because they couldn't see that was the right way to do, or right way to live.
For them.
For the foremen, you know, because foremen were hiring only their families to work, like their sons and nephews and cousins and uncles, and the ones that were really good hard workers, why, if you didn't supply them with a little gifts, they just fired you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, describe the work in the Newton plant of your father.
Well, steel mill, if anybody knows the steel mill, it's a very hot place to work, because, you know, you have to have that furnaces up in the high degrees, and the metal is red hot, and they have this acid pickler, and many men got hurt, and they got burnt.
A lot of men got hurt, huh?
Oh, yes, they did. And a lot of them got hurt, and they got burned, and accidents, and they had cranes all over, you know, going at the top of the ceiling back and forth. And a load would fall, steel, you know, and then somebody would get killed.
The people that got hurt, I mean, was it weekly or monthly? Or?
Oh, no, it was not weekly. It was probably so much a month. I mean, so much a year. Not, you know, it wasn't that great, but people were, you had to wear steel toe shoes, you know, safety shoes.
Okay, the work and the wages, hours, working conditions, various departments.
Well, the men always complained about the working conditions. They didn't have very good working conditions at the time. And hourly rate, I can remember, about $3.30. I know my brother got. My father got $3.50 an hour.
What did he do to get the more money?
He was number one crane, not an operator. I don't know what to call him. And he was not a helper. He was
like a foreman, right?
No, he wasn't a foreman. No.
Sand the tracks. For the
crane? Was just number one to load, you know, to see if it's loaded right.
Okay.
And my brother, he was just a laborer, and the few.
What did laborer do?
Well, they had a
lower job.
Yeah, lower job. They had to clean up and they had to bring supplies or whatever they needed.
Okay, how were the hours?
Hours were from steel mill was a very different place to work, because steel was not popular all year round. It was mostly only when the automobile companies needed it, you know, when they're making a changeover with their models, that's when it needed. And then in the spring of the year, they would be laid off or maybe and work maybe, sometimes they would only work maybe like 5-6 days a month.
Okay,
until this, you know, until it didn't pick up in fall.
Hours, how many hours they worked?
Eight hours a day, but if they wanted you, they could work you 16 hours a day. But you better not say no, or they would fire you immediately.
So you really had no choice, right?
No choice.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So, then sometimes you'd be putting double shifts in a day, right?
That's right, that's right, when they were busy.
And various departments with you at the steel mill.
Well, there was a grinding part, the grinding mill they call it, and there was furnaces where they had to heat the metal. They had all kind of processes that steel had to run through, and they had you had to watch the thermometers on the furnaces so it wouldn't get overheated or it was. I'm a woman. I didn't go to steel mill, but I've heard him talk about it. Yeah.
Okay. Relations with the management and relations between the workers.
Well, relations between the management and the workers was very poor. It was, if they liked you, you were really honored. But if they did not like you, and if you didn't satisfy them what they wanted, why, they just treated you that way. And so many of them just weren't even let in a door if they didn't want you, because most of them wanted a little gift every payday.
Or the if you worked inside the plant and they didn't like it, what usually happened to you? Or
you mean before the union came in?
Yeah, they just.
Oh, they just fired you.
Just fired you. They have the relations between the workers and the.
They had relations between the workers. The workers had their sons and their relatives working there. If you provided them, you know, with gifts, they were really welcome.
Who provided with the gifts?
The workers.
Okay. The management.
The management expected it, but the workers were not happy of giving a little extra money out of their paychecks. That didn't happen to every foreman. It only happened to most generally they expected, but not every one.
Now, how about between most of the family and the steel plant?
A relation between the workers, it was just like some people liked their own nationalities better than the other, and if you were Italian, they didn't like you, well, they would let you know. And if you were a Czechoslovakian, if they didn't like you, they would call you names instead of call you by the name. So that's how things started to boil, and they started to fight among themselves and call themselves, you know, call names, and it was not a very happy family.
Yeah. Describe the city of Monroe during the Depression.
Well, City Monroe was like any other city in Depression. Food was very cheap, but you didn't have that much money to buy it, and most people try to raise, have their own gardens and raise whatever they can. And at that time, we had no supermarkets. They had stores you put it on the bill and you would pay it at payday. And sometimes they would cheat you if you didn't watch your bills, you know, what went on the bill. And everybody wasn't dressed like today, you know, with fine clothes, and because they just didn't have that much money to.
Drag things out as much as they could.
That's right. And everybody had to go work in the family. The girls had to go and do housework or take little jobs in a store or restaurant or in whatever they can get, just for a few dollars a week.
Did a lot of unemployment in the city?
Well, there was a lot of unemployment, but nobody was getting unemployment checks.
Yeah, everybody out of work, right?
That's right. And if you work like for WPA, like the men did, digging ditches or whatever they made them do, then you would get, I think what they were paying them, $15 a week. And then in summertime, they would work in onion fields, you know, you had to be 16 years old. And you work all day on onion fields for $2 a day. Yeah.
Okay. How important was the Newton plant to the city of Monroe?
How important?
Yeah.
Well, the paper mills were bigger than the Newton Steel. I mean, but Newton Steel employed an awful lot of people. I don't know how much, but I know there were many, many people employed in Newton Steel.
Most of the people around were employed?
And Newton Steel, right after, you know, the strike, Newton Steel sold out, and they sold it to Republic Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And then Republic Steel was from Cleveland, and they were here only so long. I don't know how many years they were here, not too many, and they moved back to Cleveland. Then Kelsey Hayes came in, and they stayed here until the World War II. No, Kelsey Hayes didn't come in then. Kelsey Hayes came, Alcoa came in during the World War II after the Republic Steel left. And they only worked there from 1941 till 45. They were making cylinder heads for the bomber,
B-24,
bomber of some kind, because I worked there myself. And I was a
That the same place?
The same place, yeah. Then after that, Kelsey Hayes came, and they were here not too many years. And then Ford Motor Car Company bought it out, and they're still here.
Why did the people join or oppose the CIO elaborate?
Well, they didn't oppose. They joined because they were so unhappy.
It was a CIO first.
Mm-hmm. CIO was a union.
Okay.
And but there was what they call scabs, and they were against it. And some of those scabs were paid by the company to be a scab. And a scab is meant whenever you're against the union.
Yeah, they come in to work.
And they had the biggest fights, and they had guns, they had rifles, and they were just, well, both sides were like wild. They were...
The scabs and the
scabs, that's right.
Okay, yeah.
And they were just beating themselves with clubs and
anybody get killed with that?
No, nobody got killed, but they were hurt.
Or bad.
And some of them bought brand new cars, and they only had them maybe a few days, and they pushed them right in a river, in a river Raisin. And they had to, you know, get. I know particularly about four, you know, personal friends that my mother's friends that happened to. And he bought a Ford, and I think he had it 2 days, and when he parked it down along the side, a group of men came along and just kept pushing the cars in the river.
And he never got it back? No money?
No.
Back?
Well, I don't know if he got it back. I can't remember that part.
Oh.
But I do know they had a big line there, and they had about 30, 40 men there standing with rifles and guns if they would happen to cross the picket.
Okay, why they joined us, the IOR?
Because there was uneasiness in the steel mill. You know, they didn't like the way it was run. They wanted more money, and they didn't get enough money like they were paying in other areas. So, and they were making money.
The steel mill was making money.
The steel mill
okay,
was making money, yeah.
That sounds like today.
Yeah.
Okay, on the day when the picket line was broken, describe the details, your day.
The picket line was broken and they accepted a union. All the men were so happy, and everything was running then smooth. And everybody had their, you know, I don't know what you call it. Everybody had their pay changed. And of course they always got paid every 2 weeks. Better working conditions and better hours and they didn't have to pay these men anymore. They had to report them to the union if anybody, like a foreman or somebody, would accept the, you know, money from them. They wanted the money. They'd have to report it to the union, and the union would take care of them. But at that time, union was good. It wasn't like today, you know, where the nobody got great big money, but it helped, and everybody was satisfied, and they put their day's work. They really worked hard because they really wanted to satisfy the, you know, the employer. And so that's about all I can remember. There was fighting between the men that were, you know, against the union. And finally, those men apologized to some of the union men because they realized it was so much better later on when they joined the union.
Describe Monroe during the week or so when citizens were armed.
Not all the citizens.
Well, no, but I mean, how was the feeling around the town?
Oh, they were really scared. They were, they thought that was terrible, that they were armed with guns, and this was 1937, and people, they should behave better than that. And that was worse than being down south when they were, because of course there was a lot of southern people here working here, and they were in the union. And but they didn't like it when they were signing up and joining. They were hoping that more people would be against union, but they were not because...
No, people around town, would they keep their kids in? Or?
No, there was no such a... nobody was afraid like that, really. No.
And what were your thoughts and feelings about all of these happenings?
Well, I was just happy because everybody else was happy. I'm not saying the unions today are good, but at that time they were really wonderful because they didn't expect great wages, and all they wanted was good conditions to work with, mostly, not the, of course money too, but they didn't expect great wages. So that's about all I could tell you about that.
Comment on the character of some of the major actors in the strike. What kind of people were they?
Well, show me that. Most people were the ethnic groups that were, major people were the ethnic groups that worked there, and they were the ones that were the fighters and trying to control the union.
The ethnic group was the
ethnic,
they wanted the union.
They wanted the union, and that was all nationality. That was not one specific nationality. And they really organized real well.
Who opposed them?
Well, there were always few ethnics where some of them were opposed it, and mostly they opposed it was because the company was paying them some money under the table. And they didn't want to tell that, but they told it later after they saw it was so much better working, for the union. And Reuther was, at the time so popular, and he seemed like, everybody was following him. And of course, everybody was so happy about President Roosevelt at the time when he was a president, and so many, and he was all for the union, he helped out. So, and especially at the time when they when we had Social Security, they started at the time too, and that's what people were happy. Today things are different.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What was the other one?
Okay. Did the strike have any lasting impact on the city or its people?
Well, the strike had impact on the city because city at the time started getting more money in taxes. There was more buildings going on, and more businessmen were coming in, and everybody was, there was all the good was in it. At that time they had liquor stores, clothing stores and restaurants, and automobile companies were, in town here,
Is quality of life better getting?
Pardon?
Was the quality of life better?
Well, quality, and then there was a lot of building going on. People were building homes. They were, at least they felt they had security. So they started building homes and buying furniture.
Cars started reappearing.
And cars, it seems like all this young youth start buying cars. And of course, things started to really flow. And
How about for your family? How was it?
Well, our family was, of course, much better situation. I had three brothers working and three sisters were working. And
in the steel plant?
No, my brothers were working in the steel plant. My dad was working in the steel plant. And then I had one brother working in paper mills. And us girls were working. And then we started getting married and we started producing families. And so everybody was happy.
So your family did pretty well out of it?
That's right. The family did very well out of it. Yeah.
Did the pay of your...
Pay was more. Yeah, pay was more.
After the union?
After the union, yeah. Pay was more, but not greatly more. But it, after all, things were not that expensive like they are today. You know, it was accordingly.
Yeah.
So if you could manage, you did very well. But if you didn't know how to manage, or if you drank your money up, you just didn't have enough.
A lot of people go to the barn?
Yes.
During the strike, a lot.
Yeah. And they had a lot of circuses in Monroe. You know, the circus would come in once or twice a year, and they had a lot of dances in different areas where it was clean and fun. It, like
the
Masonic, Masonic Temple. They had shows, and I'll never forget, I saw Sally Rand in the Family Theater, and what was that, the one with the duck?
Yeah.
You want to buy a duck?
I've never seen it there.
Penner, last name was Penner, I can't think he was there. I seen so many, and that was a small theater.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even big.
What, the Family Theater?
The Family Theater. There was no Monroe Theater at the time. And everybody was, you know, happy. They had a theater on East End, Majestic, and they were giving dishes away, free dishes away on every Wednesday night. And some people still have them today, those dishes. Yeah. So.
Okay, thank you very much.
Is it time, Bob?